start our meeting off today saying the Pledge of Allegiance. Please join me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks for being here. We have a full house and a packed agenda today. A lot of great things to get through. Let's just start our meeting off by doing a commissioner roll call. You guys are going to help me, Dan. I love having you here in person. So I'll do that roll call now. Commissioner Kleinman?
Here.
Commissioner West?
Here.
Commissioner Benton?
Here.
Commissioner Davis? Commissioner Kennedy?
Here.
Commissioner Schrader. Is Sadia planning to join us virtually?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll be here.
Okay, perfect. And what about Commissioner Davis? I thought he helped everyone.
Yeah, he is.
Perfect. When they come in, we'll just make a note for the record that everyone's here. Great to have everyone here. So we're going to approve the agenda, and then we'll go into commissioner comments. Everyone, I'm assuming, has had an opportunity to look through our BP agenda today. Can I please get a motion to approve our agenda?
So moved.
In a second?
Second.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Kleinman. All those in favor, state by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Perfect. Our agenda is approved. And then we'll move into commissioner comments. And I'm so happy to kick these off. I am going to first start by saying we were thrilled to participate. Thanks, Commissioner Davis, for being here. We were thrilled to participate today in West Star's groundbreaking. That's a really, really exciting thing. It's going to add an additional 100 jobs to our community. In addition to a lot more square footage for them, so they no longer have to Tetris their planes around as they do their work. We're so grateful for that partnership. And thank you for Commissioner Benton and Commissioner Schrader for attending that this morning. I think there were almost 100 community leaders that were there in the cold, and it was chilly. It was very chilly. So next, Dylan, I'd like to acknowledge you. I understand that you have served 5 years, and we have a little something for you. So if you want to come up here. Angela, would you like to say anything about Dylan's service?
Yes. So Dylan, this month celebrates his 5th anniversary here. Time flies, and I also don't know how we did it without you. So we're so happy to have you. Dylan came over right at the start of the pandemic, and so he got here just in time for us to have strong ops leadership here as we dealt with the beginning stages of the pandemic. We saved him from the Front Range. But he moved over with his family, wanting to live here and work at this airport. An incredible job. We're so glad we have you. And like I said, 5 years has flown by. You're so much fun to work with. But also, I don't know how we did it without you, so thank you.
Okay. Dylan, thank you for all of your time.
I know it's a very full agenda, so I'll just do it very quick. Yeah, very tough time to come over during the pandemic, but I've learned a lot. The 5 years have flown by. We're doing so many crazy, cool things right now, building runways, replacing boarding bridges, all kinds of things that I always dreamed about when I went to school for it. So happy to be here, happy for everybody's leadership, happy for everybody's support, and here's the 5 or even more years from here. So thank you.
Thank you. All right, Commissioner Schrader has joined us as well, Victoria. Commissioner Benton, would you like to say anything? It looks like you want to say something to Dylan. Did you? Okay. I was interrupting you. Thank you for all of your work, keeping us safe, keeping us operating, continuing to prioritize our relationships with the GA tenants. Even the work you've done with the additional ARF truck and the triennial trainings, we're very grateful for your service, so thank you.
Thank you. It takes a team, and I know my team might be listening on, so I want to thank them too, because really wouldn't be anywhere without them, so we're all getting stronger. So.
Right. That's great.
Dylan is officially our chief worry officer. He worries more than the rest of us, which allows the rest of us to get focused on our job.
Dylan, our legal counsel is decided by them.
Dylan worries more than he's boots on the ground here, so he knows better than you what all to worry about on any given day. But he absolutely keeps the airport safe and informs decision making.
He worries so we don't have to. Thank you. Happy 5 years. So last but certainly not least, Tim Tom knows this is coming. Today is Commissioner Benson's final day serving on our board. You've served 10 years, is that correct, or 11?
Nine,
okay.
But who's counting?
Six of those years as chair. And as I'm quickly learning, this is not a small job. And you've done it with such excellence and such professionalism. And we're going to miss you, but we're so grateful for your service. And I do think that we might have something for you. Is this correct?
Yeah,
okay. And Angela, would you like to say anything to you?
So,
come stand up. Come over here.
I'm going to go take a look.
We're so grateful for your service and your leadership and all of your help. And so we have our traditional gift, which is this propeller that has the Grand Junction Airport logo.
Very pumped smile.
And then Dylan and his team actually made this light for you using an old airfield.
That's pretty good on the driveway, I must say.
Well,
my son flies over occasionally, so maybe the three minutes will have
you.
Okay, well, it's yours to put where you want. But big thanks to our operations team. Yeah. They all worked together to get this built.
It's very nice. Yeah.
Tom, can I get a picture of you and Dylan and Angela
sure.
with it? Cody, I'm sorry you're in this.
Yeah.
All right. That's a great picture. I don't think every commissioner gets a light.
this is a chairman light.
A chairman light.
Yeah. But thank you so much. I mean, you have done so much for us. You'll be missed.
I've been humbled by what I don't know when I joined the board, because with any organization, you don't know the ins and outs. And Angela, thank you for being patient and educating not just me, but the other board commissioners here as well. You guys have given me a lot more than I know I've given to you. But, you know, when you go from one chairmanship to another, you usually should give the new chair something.
Oh, no.
But we don't have a gavel. But what I learned from Lindy is she's very kind, and when you need a little coaching, she's there to kind of give you a little coaching. And I'm hopeful that the next commissioner that sits in this chair won't go down quite so many rabbit trails that I did. But just in case they do, I'm going to give you this little cow prod to keep them in line. So there you go. They might be a little harder.
Oh, that is a message to run a tight ship. Message received. Thank you. So Thaddeus is also closing out his term, but it's not till next month. I told him I'm not giving any closing remarks yet. We have another month of him.
Roger that.
Tom, thank you again. So in my hurry to kick the meeting off and to congratulate Tom and Dylan, I didn't do introductions of everyone else in the room. And this is not my strength, so Victoria and Cameron can help me. But we do have our legal counsel in person today, Dan Reimer. I'm so glad you're here. Love to have Sarah Mankey back. Thank you all for your commission. We have Cam here and Victoria, our board clerk. And then I know we have Jeremy Lee. Jen, is it Boehm? Am I saying that right?
Boehm.
I apologize for that. And then we've got Justin Mendenhall and Lance Kramer from FCI and Cody. And I don't know that I've met Cody. Thank you all for being here. And then, of course, Jeremy Lee. Who am I missing, team?
Ryan Sprayer.
Oh, and Travis. There you are.
Travis.
Yes.
Oh, and Colin is online.
Oh, Colin, good. Thank you for joining us. You have a beefy portion of the agenda. So thank you for that. So citizen comments, do we have any today?
We have not received any.
Okay, wonderful. So then we'll move down to the consent agenda. May I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Perfect, a second?
Second.
Thank you, Cody Henry. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Perfect, any opposed? The motion carries. So then we will move into action today. First on our action, items is the consent to lease assignment with Plain Storage LLC to Integrity Health. Who's going to take this one? Is this Sarah?
Perfect.
I am going to pass this over to Chris West, our vice chair, as well, because Intermountain Health is a client of mine, so I'm going to recuse myself for this discussion and vote. Just remain in the room. So
okay.
Thanks.
So staff presentation first on the item.
Just for the record, Madam Chairman, I too will excuse myself from a vote, but for my board relationship with Intermountain Health.
Thank you very much. And we need 4 to pass a vote for quorum, so we'll be fine. Wonderful. Thank you. Thanks, Chris.
So I think just for this presentation, to keep it quick, typically this is something we would put on our consent agenda. We did pull it out because we knew we had conflicts for voting purposes. What we're asking board for today is to consent to the assignment from Plain Story, which is currently owned by Larry Kempton, to Integrity Health, which is a subsidiary of Intermountain. And really the future concept there is for them to own their own property. They currently sublease for CareFlight operations. They're looking to purchase this and expand future development of what's currently a covered tie-out space right now. So I don't know if there's any additional questions on this one.
A question, what is the lease rate in the lease that's being assigned, and what is our current lease rate?
When you say the lease rate, are you meaning the term or?
No, the charges.
Oh, the charges. Mm-hmm. You know, that is a really great question. I don't have the total square footage written out, but I believe it's about $4,700 a year is the total revenue portion of it. Our standard ground lease rate is about 25 cents per square foot. And then they own all of the improvements in the structure on top of that. I can give you the exact number after the meeting.
So what was the lease rate at the time that this lease was initiated?
I do not
remember. Okay, just curious.
So our leases are typically subject to an annual increase based on the CPI.
Okay.
Most of our leases are on an even year schedule. We do have a couple that are on an odd year. So every 2 years we do a CPI increase. So I don't remember where it started, but it will transfer.
Okay, that's really helpful. Just to know that we're not get stuck with that.
Correct.
Really cheap lease. That's
great.
Right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So and then answer it for me.
Perfect.
So they're just assigning the lease that they have now to Integrity.
Correct. So Integrity will inherit all of the current terms of the existing lease, and there are 42 years remaining on that.
And that's just the land lease.
It is just the land lease.
Are they selling on the improvements then? Or?
They have negotiated, and it's in the assignment. They're actually requesting that the improvements be removed by the current owner, Kempton. They want to build a hangar, and really we're working with them. They would also like to take over the adjacent parcel, which has been referred to as the feather parcel. So the development will actually be larger than the existing footprint today. This is step one for them, though. They have to get approval from their board for the first lease assignment, and then we are working with them and discussing a new lease agreement. This one today is just for that one parcel for plane storage.
And that new lease assignment will come before the board for approval as well.
Correct.
Any further questions from the board? Any citizen comments or public comments on the topic? Okay. No further discussion. I'll ask for a motion to approve.
Sure. I move that we consent to assignment of ground lease from Plain Storage LLC to Integrity Health and authorize the executive director to sign the consent to assignment.
Thank you, Lee. And a second?
Second.
That is second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, is this a call out vote?
I think it was a roll call.
Okay. So all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion passes.
And then there's two extensions.
Yeah, just make sure on that record. Thank you, Victoria. Thank you, Commissioner West, for taking that on. So we'll move then to action item B, airport facilities lease and rental car concessions agreement.
This one is me as well. So just a little bit of background. So our current rental car operators, the last time we did this contract, it started in 2015. The original term was a 5-year term. It ended in 2020 in the middle of COVID. So we did elect to extend that for an additional 2 years. And then they really have been in a month-to-month holdover since then. Similar to the ground lease that we just discussed, our rental rates for the interior ticket office area and then the ground lease where their service area is, both are subject to CPI increases, so that rent rate has gone up. They also have a revenue share, which their gross revenue sharing percentage, which is 10% of their gross revenue that they receive, or what they have committed to as a minimum annual guarantee, or a MAG is how we'll refer to that. So our total rental car revenue last year was about $1.7 million. It was about $1.6 the year before. There's also a small portion from fuel. So those are the components of revenue. The way the contract is sitting in holdover, that has been working well. It does adjust annually as far as the revenue goes, but we did receive some inquiries from some new entrants who were possibly interested in joining the airport. So what we did is in fourth quarter of 24, we put out an invitation for bid. So we're asking them basically to come to us with their best bid of that revenue share and what they're willing to pay the airport for that MAG. We did keep all of the other terms of that revenue agreement consistent, but we asked them to come and bid. We did only receive bids from our incumbents, the ones that are currently serving. We didn't get any new entrants, or, you know, not really sure exactly why they did not decide to bid. But it did give us an opportunity to update our contract language with Dan, get some of those more current terms, the FAA terms, similar to what you saw in the lease amendment. And so what we're asking for today, we also included within that invitation for bid was a contract. So they had an opportunity to review the contract language, submit questions to legal counsel, to Cameron as they ran that bid. And we've gone through all of those. So we're asking for consent for Angela to sign the agreements as they were negotiated as part of the invitation for bid with our current incumbents. Anything to add on that, Angela?
I don't think so. I mean, it's nice to just reset the contract to current terms. Financially, we don't anticipate this to have a material impact because that minimum annual guarantee, we haven't been at those levels with the exception of COVID. And so we want them to stay above those levels. All of the bids actually demonstrated a higher minimum annual guarantee than what they have now. So that floor lifts up, but the percentage of gross revenue stays the same. And so this offers them stability, offers us stability. You know, should we need to go out and issue debt in a bond market, for example, these kind of contracts having more term left on them, it's really important when it comes to our creditworthiness. So this just cleans things up and gets us in longer term contracts with them again. There will be a slight modification to what you see in the ready return lot. When we put out the space allocations, we actually preserved space in this corner, kind of closest to gate one, that loading bridge. We actually took that space out of the rental car area, and instead it'll be employee parking. That accomplishes two goals. It gives our employees much closer parking, and that's especially important for those employees who work in the early morning hours or late night. Second, it frees up that space so that we have the flexibility when we pursue gate expansion, that we have that space available to us and we don't have to go deconflict from existing contracts.
Any questions?
I just have a few operational questions. I don't understand. Do the three vendors share, they have a consolidated refresh and maintenance facility, and who owns that, and how does that operate in this lease?
So not currently from a consolidated. That is on our future airport development plan. It's a consolidated facility in the area, just on the other side of the roundabout. But currently, as it exists today, we have four ground lease spaces technically over there. Three of them have been improved upon by our current tenants, actually. So they built the car wash and what they consider their quick service turnaround facilities. So they built the improvements similar to our GA tenants. But we do still have those ground leases. So this will renew the ground lease for those spaces. But that future plan, and part of what we're collecting those CFC funds for, is to build potentially that future consolidated rental car facility, which would put all of that in one space. I was just going to say, we're fortunate, I think, compared to other airports where we don't have to shuttle, like in Phoenix, to get way over to the rental car. It's nice to be able to keep those counters here on site. But I think that's something that's also possibly up for discussion in the future. If there's a different need in the terminal, that could change with that potential space as well.
So if each individual builds their own refresh facility, do you think that was an impediment to the bidder for the fourth slot because of the capital improvement requirement?
So in the invitation for bids, that fourth space we surveyed and demonstrated what the space would be. And we committed to actually making improvements using CFC funds since the tenant improvements were made such a long time ago. You know, that those returns, they've already been able to realize those returns. But ultimately, I think it was just the uncertainty in the market and, you know, just the three big brands are so much bigger than any of the other brand families that I think it's a scale situation as well. Just looking and saying, you know, I think Grand Junction is still a little bit small to enter that market. We do intend to make available actually that fourth space though and make a few improvements out there because we know that we have companies who could use that space. And so all of these revenue contracts will come before the board as we make those improvements. But it didn't concern us that we didn't get a fourth bid. We followed up with the company that we felt was most likely to respond, and ultimately they just didn't have enough certainty in the broader market. One thing I want to add when it comes to your question about the consolidated rental car facilities, we do have that fuel station. That is the first stage of that consolidated rental car facility, and so that was built a few years ago using those CFC funds. CFCs, that stands for customer facility charge. The CFC stays flat in this contract to what it was before. That's $4 per transaction day. Those funds have accumulated. We recently had Genzer refresh our plans, our drawings for consolidated rental car facility. The rental car companies very much want that to be built. We still are millions of dollars away from having enough funding for that, but we will be working in the coming years on getting that facility built. Those facilities they use now are past the end of their useful life, conservatively, so they are eager to get into nicer spaces. But right now we're in a pretty good situation.
Any other questions?
I guess just one question, a quick one for you. The rental car revenue is pretty important to the airport. We have an extra space. Is our MAG level competitive enough to get another entity? And I don't know the answer to this question. For example, is Eagle or Montrose, do they have another major brand that we don't?
So the most major brand that a surrounding airport has that we don't is a company called Sixt. You may recognize that name or the color. They're orange. Everything is orange. Like there's orange everything suddenly, like the paint spilled. That's Sixt. And they are a luxury-only rental car company. They are one of the companies that expressed interest, given their operation up in Aspen. But otherwise, no, we have the major brand families.
Okay.
Now, when it comes to the MAG, because it's an invitation for bid, there is no minimum level set for that MAG, and so it does provide opportunities to have different levels. But I think it's very common for an airport our size to have no more than these three brands, and it's quite common that you don't get all three. So we're happy with what we have, and we recognize too that the rental car business here, it is an element of the airport that serves far more than just the airport. There's plenty of people who come to rent cars here. Avis and Enterprise both have off-airport locations. Hertz does not, and so 100% of the Hertz rentals in the Valley happen out of the airport. And that's part of why we keep our CFC level low. It's $4 here. Denver, in contrast, is $10 per day. Because we want to encourage the maximum number of rentals out of the airport, because what it does is it just increases airport revenues without holding all the funds in that airport. So.
Thank you.
Are we seeing any impact on car sharing services like Turo or one of those?
We haven't seen an impact. A year or two ago, we did come before the board and have an operating agreement because we do want to make sure that all businesses that operate on the airport are, first of all, recognized and regulated by the airport so that, you know, we feel comfortable with the customer experience, and then also that we have that revenue share access. And that was really important to our incumbent rental car carriers, is that, you know, they had to pay their fair share too. But the overall activity from Turo and the others here is very low.
Any other questions? I'm glad we got an opportunity to talk about the CFCs. Those are so important, and thank you for just detailing that. And then also that fourth ticket counter. There's some opportunity there. So let's go ahead, and I'll take a motion to vote.
Madam Chairman, I would move that we approve the airport facilities lease and rental car concession agreements and authorize the executive director to sign the agreements based upon the results of the invitation for bid.
Thank you, Commissioner Benton. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any other discussion? All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, the motion carries. Thank you.
Next on our action item, we have basement and IT room build out, and I think we have our folks from FCI here also to answer any additional questions, and Ryan Springer too, so thank you for being here today. Who would like to kick this conversation off?
I'll kick it off, and then we have a robust team here to be able to answer questions. So what you have before you is, an action item to really fund the construction for building out our basement space. So back in 2018, when all of the HVAC in the terminal was upgraded, and most notably, we got rid of the swamp cooler, it freed up a tremendous amount of space in our basement. I want to make sure everyone knows where the basement is, and we're happy to take people to the basement afterwards if you'd like. It's not as serious as it sounds. But to orient you, you see the escalators and elevators in the middle of the terminal, and we point to where the coffee bar is. I think that, so that hallway that you would go down to take down with air connection, you go down that hallway, hang a left about halfway down, and that's how you enter the basement space. So that basement space sits over in that corner, and that location is really important when it comes to the function and how we intend to use the space. The space will, first and foremost, we look at it as space for our consolidated IT room for our airline partners. Our ticket counters and the airline ticket offices are a long distance away from the gates, and so, I mean, way too far to put copper there. We have fiber with our airline partners now, but we really wanted to consolidate and centralize for our airline partners where that IT function happens. This is a best practice at the airports. It's something that airlines are very excited about. The way it works is you tend to have this elevated space, and each airline with their proprietary equipment, they have lockers to actually, IT lockers to put their equipment in. This is a big upgrade for them in terms of how they can use the space. The way our airline rates and charges work, naturally when we spend this money, the airlines get charged for it anyway because of how we come up with, you know, because our rate making methodology is circular, you know, based on our expenses, that's how we charge the airlines. And so we don't need to charge them for this in a direct way. They will pay for it indirectly through the rates and charges. So that IT room is a really important component. And then from there, there's a lot of extra space down there that is available for storage for our employees and also for some small workshop space. We don't currently have workshop space, and so you may have seen our airport employees doing different work throughout different corners of the terminal because they're just trying to find conditioned space to stain a door or, you know, paint something. And good about doing that in off hours and making sure they're minimizing the impact to customers, but we'd really like for them to have some dedicated space. The reason why they couldn't just move in right away when we did that project is because there's some life safety enhancements that have to happen in order for us to meet code, to have storage down there, or to have employee workspace. So what you have before you is an action item for the project as a whole. But that project is really broken out between two companies. So FCI is the general contractor who will do the construction on most of what you see. And then the Sequent contract, Sequent is our IT partner. And that one-year extension that you approved last year included this project within the scope of their contract. And so Sequent will complete the IT-specific components and really focus on that IT room, and they will do that, you know, alongside FCI, but not as a sub to FCI, because it's more efficient for us financially, and they work well.
Any questions? Who would like to take a tour of the basement after this meeting? It seems like a no-brainer. I mean, we have this space. It's time to create those life safety improvements and even just to get fiber to all of our desks for our airlines. It just makes a lot of sense. So thank you all. Any other discussion? Kayle.
Madam Chairman, I'll be excusing myself from this vote. One of those handsome guys in the back is my son-in-law.
Nice to meet you. All right, I will take a motion to approve this.
I move to approve and authorize the executive director to execute a task order with FCI under the on-call general contracting agreement and Sequent for the basement and IT room build out for a combined total of $1,030,006, including contingency.
Well done. I've read worse. You've seen me. May I have a second?
Second.
Wonderful. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Perfect. Would you please let the record state that Tom Benton has recused himself? Thank you. All right, next on our agenda is the SIB loan resolution number 2025-003 for our Colorado State Infrastructure Bank application. Do you want to take this one, Angela?
Yes.
Thank you.
So this application represents the first and really the final step in the SIB loan process from a Fort Ward perspective. The State Infrastructure Bank Loan Program is a program that exists within CDOT to lend money to public entities in Colorado. It's actually broken into two groups. There's an SIB loan fund for aviation, there's an SIB loan fund for on the highway side of CDOT. In working with our CDOT partners, they were surprised to hear that we already needed expanded public parking. I know we're all pleasantly surprised by that, but they were supportive of us pursuing another SIB loan to fund those improvements. And on the aeronautical side, they actually didn't have enough money in the fund to fund what we estimate the expansion and then the rehabilitation of our existing parking lots would cost. And so they offered and, you know, really have taken this fully to take it to the Transportation Commission. Transportation Commission oversees the bigger CDOT and that SIB loan fund. They have funding that hadn't been used in a while, and they have a sizable balance, and so they have facilitated this to where the SIB loans will actually, they anticipate, will be transferred to the aviation fund, so we only have to apply, have one application to have this loan. The way these loans work, to remind you, we took out a loan in 2023 for the $3.7 million that was to fund the rehabilitation of taxi lane Charlie 1 Alpha, so that taxi main corridor through our GA area that we're responsible for, as well as to expand our public parking lot, you know, pave that gravel lot we had and make those improvements. Those funds have all been spent except about $400,000. That $400,000 is being used to fund the design work for our next phase of parking expansion. We talked about that in December. So as we roll into the actual construction, we think $6.5 million is enough to expand, to fund the parking lot expansion and the associated drainage improvements. Without getting into details, we've been working with our partners at the city. Paul and Steve have been working very hard on the drainage improvements and really making drainage improvements now that make sense and help parking expansion in the distant future a little bit easier also. So just kind of remove some of those barriers. So there's quite a few drainage improvements as well. Plus, we really need to mill and overlay our existing parking lot. So since we're overbuilding right now versus what we need, it'll allow us, it give us that empty chair so we can close off section of the parking lot without being painful for passengers. This should be enough to fund those improvements, and the interest rate is 3.5%. That's locked in at time of application, so we're confident that's what it'll be. We're currently earning 4.5% from Apollo Trust funds. There's no prepayment penalties on these. Your payments are annual. Home Loan has confirmed that they will once again hold these monies in escrow for us at no charge. So it's truly the cheapest form of debt, the fastest form of debt for us. And it allows us to maintain that liquidity we need to float the payments out on our airfield project.
Thank you. Do we have to pledge a revenue stream to this?
No. And it's subordinate debt. So we've already confirmed with our bond council that this is in compliance with our bond requirements.
Yeah. Tom, did you have a question also?
Oh, I was just going to say, Sarah was nice enough to do a debt service coverage ratio on all the things for me. So it fits all the covenants. Thank you, Sarah. Appreciate that.
Does our banker feel comfortable?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was a little nervous beforehand. Okay, now.
We appreciate that so much. Any other questions?
Is it the term is 10 years?
Yes.
Is it going 10 years?
Is it even payoff stream over the 10 years? holding rates constant, and I think if we filled that lot to 51% capacity, that covers that annual debt service too. Not, I mean, that's holding everything else constant. We know that may not work exactly like that, but this does allow future revenue stream for parking too.
Yeah. And it has been a while since we increased rates in our existing parking lot too. So this is the big step for us to pursue this loan funding, but you know, we are looking closely at that revenue stream and working with the partners at InterVistas who are really top in the business when it comes to airport parking and that business line to inform decision making on rates, since we do control rates in the parking lot as well. Mm-hmm.
Do we take this down as a line of credit or do we take it as a lump sum?
So it is held in escrow until we submit supporting documents. We do have to spend it first and then draw it down.
Okay.
The escrow account is an interest earning account that we have in currently, and we are able to use that interest towards future payoffs. As Angela mentioned earlier, we do still have a little bit left from the first one, so we will hold those, we will earn that interest, but it is drawn down slowly. That's why we have Home Loan as the escrow agent, is we do have to submit those supporting documents to be able to draw it down out of the restricted escrow account.
Good question.
Do we ever take, even authorized to use commercial paper to deal with that, or is it just easier to deal with this escrow account?
That's a good question. I mean, commercial paper is something we've talked about in the past. Commercial paper compared to the SBA loan program, just has far more favorable terms.
Okay.
But as an entity, we are eligible
okay.
to pursue.
Any other questions? Any other question? So most importantly, we'll have expanded parking before Thanksgiving next year. To put the fine point on that, which we will need. Can I have a motion for item D, the SIB loan resolution number 2025-003?
Madam Chair, I move to adopt resolution number 2025-003 to approve and submit the application for Colorado SIB loan 25-GJT-SIB-01.
Thank you, Commissioner West. Can I have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oh, do we have to do roll call?
It's a resolution.
Yes, sir, it sure is. Thank you. Thanks for that call out. Commissioner Feynman?
Yes.
Commissioner Davis?
Yes.
Commissioner Kennedy?
Yes.
Commissioner West?
Yes.
Commissioner Benton?
Yes.
Commissioner Schrader?
Yes.
And the chair votes in approval as well. Thank you. Appreciate that. I'll get better. We'll get more streamlined.
It's easier when I'm here in person rather than
that's true. I've already moved on. Wonderful. We have item E, Mead and Hunt task order number 18 for our fiscal year 2026 engineering services. That's a big part of the packet.
And Colin will be taking this one. And Colin is online today.
Thanks for being here, Colin.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Awesome. So we planned on handling these two together, as shown, at least presenting them together. I think it may have to be voted on separately. But the table set for these items, and as a refresher to the board, in 2023, the board approved funding for a large design package similar to this. And what that resulted in is a shovel-ready project that we were able to use to capture all that money we captured last year, almost close to $40 million of discretionary last year. So we have been working with the FAA to work towards another large shovel-ready project to be bid in 2026, and with the hope really that that position is captured in a large way of funding and keep the momentum that we've built. So these items are for the design and the program management services related to really finishing that runway design and getting that ready to be the new runway ready to be open. So if you'll advance to slide more specifically, what that looks like is the area in orange shows the remainder of the subbase, the base, the asphalt. The green shows the navigational aid improvements in their final permanent location, as well as there's construction survey that can be done to make sure that they can file the procedures and everything makes sense there. That's included. Additionally, there's connection to blue and red. To tie that into the infrastructure so that once that's completed, that work will be able to be implemented while the final and last really big package happens, which is the termination of deed this currently to the future parents.
Hey, Colin, this is Lindy. We're having just a little bit of trouble hearing you, like you're cutting in and out. Do you have headphones on that you could? Yeah, you do.
I do. Yeah. I'm wearing them, actually.
That's much better.
I feel like I have trouble every time I'm remote.
That's even much better right there, the way you're holding the mic.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so where did you lose me? Could you hear the scope description at all?
You're going through a tunnel.
Okay.
Would you do it again, please?
Well, yes. Yeah, no problem. So the orange represents the remainder of the actual pavement section. So the subbase, the base, lighting, asphalt, all that stuff is needed to basically have a something that looks like a runway in that area. The green represents the navigational aids in their final permanent location, as well as the actual FAA instruction survey that's needed to apply the procedures. The blue and red ties in the project and make sure that it's operational while the final last phase of 1129 conversion to a parallel taxiway occurs. Was that better, Lindy?
Much.
Could you hear me okay
yes,
that time?
Much. Thank you.
Okay, great. You bet. Any questions on what this accomplishes?
Lee has one.
Just briefly, does this complete the design package for this project?
There is one remaining package that will happen. So you see the orange immediately plans set out of that, the existing runway that exists. That runway pavement will need to be basically narrowed up, overlaid, and a small portion will need to be reconstructed to become a parallel taxiway. That is currently targeted to happen. Basically, we're aiming at 2029 to do one final bid package. But really the key here, what we're really trying to set this up as, we want this to be operational in the interim and really set this up that if something happened and it was 2030, that it would still be a safe operating runway environment and still that funding could come. So this is the last package to open the new runway. The other stuff, while important, is less important than opening the new runway. This is the big milestone that we're aiming at. So I'd say yes is the answer. This is the big thing that we're aiming towards.
Wow.
Thank you.
It's exciting.
I have one question, if I could, for Colin on this map. Operationally, and maybe this is a Dylan question too, there's four taxiways that don't look like they'll be completed in the midsection for this. Will there be a time where aircraft landing or departing have to use just the east and west entry points to the new runway? Or when it goes to open, will they have access to what is our current runway as a taxiway at those 3, 4, and 5 midpoints?
Jeremy and I have been talking about adding A4 connection at A4, which is that midpoint as well. I think that's the direction we're headed. We didn't show it in this exhibit, but I think we're going to end up adding that in this package as well and including that to give that midpoint connection. So I think that would help operationally. The challenge is really when you go back to reconstruct that area in the middle, you know, you want to keep aircraft out of there as best we can. And so if we do make that connection, we're going to need to be really clear with the path from that runway down A4 in the middle around the existing runway and light it and mark it and make it really clear so that any aircraft that operates in that area has a clear path to get back from that taxiway so that they don't, you know, incorrectly use any of that pavement. But I think that's a good question, Tom. It's our intention probably to add something in the middle so it's not such a long taxi.
That seems to make sense, especially for general aviation guys in a little 172 or 182. That's a long haul for them. Thank you.
Agreed.
Yeah,
you bet.
Any other questions? Okay, keep going, Colin.
Okay. So the first action item is for Meade and Hunt scope of work. It's everything we just talked about. This work is anticipated to be 95% funded, eligible. We're in the next year, all grants that are awarded keep in mind, we've talked about it leading up to this meeting and briefly a little bit earlier, is the intention here is to pre-fund this. And I have a slide later that hits on this. We have applied for a grant application. We applied to that in January with board approval in December. For the full amount for both this scope and action item E would be covered within that. But we still need a grant to come. And so this is a pre-funding situation similar to the work we did in 2023. However, we've gotten good feedback. The FAA supports it, and we're hopeful that we'll get at least partially awarded this year, if not fully awarded this year. But this is action item E. Any questions on it?
I just need a little timing context. So I know that we're doing the planning, the engineering, we're looking at 2026. The work would actually occur in the digging in 27, is that correct? Or we're hoping even sooner than that?
That is the plan, yes. Okay. So right now, our intention is to advertise for bids in April of 2026 with really what that would do is we would have bids in hand for 26, allow us to capture all the money that the FAA can give us. 26 with an intention to mobilize in either late 26 or early 27, depending on when that money comes in.
Pretty exciting.
So yes, that is. And hey, we're not really helping the situation. We noticed this too late, the early changes, but Meet and Hut's title says 2026 engineering services and ours says 2025. It's as we click to the next slide, you can see that. I don't think that provides more clarity. I think that makes it a bit
That was the only reason I had the question. I was like, when is it?
Yeah,
that's
our fault.
No, it's no problem. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, big picture, this is, right now we don't have any uncontracted work. And so, you know, to remind you, this year the big grant that we anticipate from the FAA is to fund the remainder of that contract for the sub-base work that you approved last year. And we want to make sure we remain in a position where we have shovel-ready work and we have work where we can accept grant funding. I think given the environment in D.C., that's more important than ever. There's just a lot of uncertainty, but in the draft budget that was released this weekend, despite all of the cuts in the federal government, you see that the airport improvement program, so that program that these grants fall under, is still listed to be funded at $4 billion. That corresponds to going back last year to that FAA reauthorization, the exact amount in that FAA reauthorization, which is elevated. It's usually $3.35 billion. The draft budget shows $4 billion. And so, you know, we know that things are a little strange right now when it comes to the federal side of this, but we also feel confident that in order for us to be most efficient, we need to have shovel-ready work. And this positions us to be in that place.
Thank you. And I think just for our commissioners who weren't able to join the joint agency meeting, we were able to talk about that at length, and it was really helpful context for our city and county partners to hear that. I mean, this planning work sets us up in a position to accept funding when it's available, but I just needed to understand what we were talking about, so thank you.
The construction work will start by 2027,
yeah.
And it could start in 2026.
As soon as, yeah. Mm-hmm. Perfect, thank you.
So if the runway transition taxiway conversion starts in 2027, does that mean 1230 will be up and operational by then?
Yes, earlier.
1230 right now, we hope the new runway will open in 2028. And so that's where this keeps us on track for that accelerated plan. And that plan is funding dependent. So it gives us, it gives the FAA the flexibility to accelerate things. You know, potentially it could open in 2027. I don't think it could open any earlier than that. But 2028 is really that that universal target that we have with those partners. And this enables our partners to fulfill that.
I thought the runway transition had to happen after it's
open. Yeah, so the runway transition, when the new runway opens, we transition to that new runway. The existing runway will no longer be a runway. But it will still be that same runway width to start out with. So, you know, there'll be that transitional period that happens in 2028, likely.
Yeah.
So we transition that runway into a taxiway.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Sorry. It will be called a taxiway and treated as a taxiway the moment the new runway opens.
Why is it necessary to narrow that?
Taxiways are typically half the width of a runway.
I imagine safety.
Huh?
It's safety.
Yeah, for safety. And also, it's just less paving to maintain.
Yeah, there you go. Cost savings, too.
Yeah.
Love it. Great.
Yeah, it's a visual cue.
Cost to take it out.
Yeah, and that's where initially it will be a non-standard taxiway, and we will be transitioning to be a standard taxiway.
Okay.
And did a little spray paint on there. Do not
clamp.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry to take it down.
I think it's worth noting, too, is it really won't be a whole taxiway width at the beginning. It's, think of it as pathways across the taxiway to get to the runway.
Yeah.
But I wanted to help out with Tom, too. That's a taxiway headlight over there, so if you put that out, I just want to make sure something's aligning on the taxiway.
I think he knows the difference.
We don't want a wrong surface lighting situation. There will be a lot of blue lighting on it, and there's a lot of consideration, too, for inclement weather, those types of scenarios, too, during the transitional period to keep us safe. So.
That's a good question. You know, we are eager to transition it fully as quickly as possible, so is FAA. But, you know, to Colin's prior point in response to your question, you know, there's more flexibility on the timeline for that full transition from runway to taxiway for 1129. But when we flip that switch, 1129 is not a runway anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I still have in my head 2030, and so it's really exciting to start thinking about 2028, because all of this work that we continue to see, you know, pre-planned and pre-engineered, is equal cost savings and on an earlier timeline. So.
And this is absolutely because of Colin and Jeremy. And
thank you guys.
Their amazing work and collaboration. When they come to us and say, hey, we think we should do this, it's like no brainer usually. I mean,
done.
They are really good at finding these opportunities.
Great. All right, continue on, Colin. Thank you so much for letting us ask those questions.
You bet. So it's up to you if you want to vote on this or if you want me to tell you quickly about item F and then vote.
No, I think.
What's your preference?
I think we should probably vote on this. Does that make sense to you all? Do you have other questions
okay.
that you want to?
I just have one last question. Yep. I guess maybe from a financial aspect, should this, when we approve this, could we be out $2.2 million theoretically without having a grant award in the timeline, or should we know what would be the timing of knowing when the grant would be relative to money out the door?
So this is pre-funded. Do you
want to
answer that, Colin?
Either way, all I would say is that this year, to capture the money this year, it would be funded with a discretionary grant. So there is an opportunity this year that it could not be funded. You know, we've asked for it. We could receive good feedback, but, you know, it could be funded in part or not at all this year. However, this is pretty close to the entitlement amount that you guys get every year. And so, and while that's spoken for in 2025, it isn't spoken for in 2026. So the majority of this could be absorbed in a 2026 entitlement. It's kind of a worst case, the way I see it.
That would be the BIL money, right?
No, so it's still, when you talk about entitlements, when we talk to you about the runway project, we tend to just group everything together.
Okay.
So, you know, the AIP allocations, a portion of it goes out in based on an entitlement formula, based on the size of your airport that prior year. And so typically we're at about $2 million. It's the exact same amount as the bill entitlements, so it gets extra confusing, but that $2 million. The rules for that color of AIP money are slightly different. And so with design, we can fund design and wait to get reimbursed. The, you know, construction, you have to wait. But with those entitlements, they tend to get programmed to whatever kind of the FAA owes us is almost how they think about it. So if they aren't able to fund all of this using discretionary funds this year, then what we anticipate is next year we'll use our entitlement funds for that.
Thank you.
Okay. Colin, I'm changing my mind. Would you mind discussing item F only because that way we as a board have clarity
sure.
of the buckets? Thank you.
Sure. Very similar. This is for Garber Scope. Regarding FAA coordination, program management. It's a little bit less eligible, I think is the big thing to highlight here. There are items, we've talked about this on previous Garber Scopes, there are items here that the FAA believes are ineligible, administrative items and items that they think there's a close enough overlap with meet and comes work that they basically don't want to pay for it twice. But the split ends up being based on anticipated eligibility 85-15 instead of the 95-5 based on those
questions? No, doesn't look like there are any.
Madam Chairman, I would move that we approve Meat and Hunt Task Order Number 18, Fiscal Year 2026 Engineering Services, or should that read 2025?
Oh, 21. It's correct. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry for pointing that out. 2026.
Okay. And I guess as well as. We've heard the other one, Garver Task Order Number 19, Fiscal Year 2025, Runway Design Coordination Program Management.
Are you concerned with the
answer? Can you do them separately?
100%.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Just to test if you like Jeremy or Colin more.
Well, good to know.
I'll back
I have
up
a
again.
Motion for item E on the table. Can I have a second for item E?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Davis. Any other discussion? Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries. May I also get a motion for item F?
I would move for item F, Garver Task Order Number 19, Fiscal Year 2025, Runway Design Coordination Program Management, Board Approval.
Second.
Second.
Perfect, thank you, Commissioner Kennedy. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries. Thank you very much for those reports. Thank you guys so much for your continued coordination, organization, and planning to keep us ahead of schedule and save us money. So, all right.
Thank you. You can skip this slide. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Colin. Staff reports. It looks like we just have Angela on the agenda today.
Yes. So given the BT agenda today, we thought we'd keep things light. Also, there are financials in your packet, but the finance team is working through closing out year end. So I think they'll have a beefier presentation next month. I only have a couple of things. First, excited to share that February looked way better than expected passenger traffic wise. We expected it to look good, but to the point where I was really questioning the accuracy of the data we got from the airlines, and Travis is extraordinarily patient, and you know, we looked at the numbers and looked at them and followed up, and it looks real. So our 26th consecutive month of year-over-year growth. To put things in perspective, February capacity was down 6% in February seat capacity, so 6% fewer seats than February of last year, but also one fewer day in February 25 versus February 24. So we did not expect it to be bigger, but it was because load factors were so high. So both United and American have load factors in the 80, over 80%. We saw Delta's load factors again increase by, I think they increased by 6% this time, so their numbers are looking better and better. Breeze load factors were over 60%, which is very good for that Las Vegas service in February. February is a really off month for that service, so even when Allegiant flew it, you know, that's a low load month. So we are in very good shape when it comes to passenger traffic, and excited to share. To orient you, the bars on the bottom show enplanements. That's half the passengers is the best way to think of it, so it's people getting on the planes. And then what you see in the on the lines in the corresponding color is the load factor. So you see loads last February were very low. Not surprising, last February we welcomed Breeze into the market. They were going three times weekly to Orange County. And American also had extra capacity in the market. They went three times daily to Phoenix, and you know, two to three times daily to Dallas. This February, they were at two daily to both, and Allegiant only had the Vegas service. But what we see is a big improvement. This is great news when it comes to the airlines. Next week, I'll be traveling to meet with nine airlines, and we're really excited to have this news. Because in an airport like ours, if you take a step back and you look at all of this capacity growth, you know, it starts to look like maybe the market's getting saturated if you're an airline. You could, you know, start pumping the brakes on growth in that market. But when you see a market respond to this amount of growth in this way, that is a really good sign, and airlines love to see that, so we're really excited to get to go talk about this success and wanted to share with you.
Especially in our slow season, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it was wild to me. I mean, United served more passengers in February than they did in January in a grand ocean, and you know, three fewer days. expand the parking lots. Parking lots look full, it's because they are full, and just a really healthy sign.
Great.
Anything
else? Oh, wow, thank you. Any questions for
anybody? Our goal is to be done at 12:30 for you. And
thank you, because we are headed into executive session. Is there any other business to come before the board today before we head into executive? I think what I'll end up doing is I'll have us adjourn out of this, and we'll take a 5-minute break, and then we'll come back at 12:35 and go into executive session. Is that okay, Dan?
Why don't you just move to go into exec session
Perfect.
Now?
Okay.
So we'll take a 5-minute break. And
Perfect.
That should just make
I'm so glad you're here. You could be here all the time. Wonderful. Can I get a motion to head into executive session?
So.
Thank you. Do we have to read that?
Yes, please.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There you are.
Madam Chair, I move we enter into executive session for the purpose of considering personnel matters as authorized by Colorado Revised Statute Section 24-6-402, paragraph 4F, specifically including the Executive Director's Annual Review and Employment Contract.
Wonderful. May I second? Am I allowed to second as a chair?
Second.
I'm not legal here. I've got a question.
Tom,
he doesn't like it. All right, Tom, thank you so much. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Wonderful. Thank you all. It was great to see you. We'll convene again at 12:35-ish. So I'm going to hang up.
Goodbye.